Hello, and welcome to Forward Church Online. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you'll have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Now, if you're one of those fair weather fans, you're probably doing woo-hoo. But if you're a true fan, you act a fool. See, I'm one of those Georgia fans. I act a fool. I'm in the state of Florida wearing a Georgia shirt yesterday, and I'm wondering, why's everybody looking at me crazy? We come into church, we need to act a fool. If we can go outside these doors and people that we work with and they act a fool and live like hell all week long, but then we come in here and we want to give the Lord a whoo. The Bible says, for the true worshipers. The true worshipers. That worships in spirit and in truth. See, I'm not telling you something that you don't know, because this is the truth. If Pastor Dennis was here, he would be nutting up on you guys. Because he knows. When the Spirit of God is in the house, that man is a straight fool, crazy. You know it. And it must be the hair thing. Because me, him, Pastor Bradley, we straight fools. I'm just telling you. And y'all probably said, oh, the Bible says not call nobody a fool. I didn't call him a fool. I'm just saying, we straight out foolish when it comes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Thank you. Hey, can we give these guys a hand? I'm telling you, I know their heart. It's not about the applause. They do it because they love Christ. Hey, we're going to have to shift that because I'm about to fall off this stage. Hey, I'm ecstatic to be here. It is an honor to be in Forward Church. I know some of you cats don't know me. I served with Pastor Bradley at another ministry for about... 3.5 to 5 years. But I served with Pastor Bradley, and we've had some good times and we've had some bad times, but that's ministry. And if God has called you to ministry, run. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do it. If God's called you to ministry, you're going to have more bad days than you have good days. But you got to trust God. And know that he called you to do what he's called you to do. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and this pastor was talking about other pastors. And he said over 90% of pastors in the ministry today fight depression. 90% of pastors in the ministry today fight depression. I was like, hey, now I know what's wrong with me. You know? I'm just messed up. That's how important it is to pray for your pastor. You think that leadership, and I don't know where I'm going because this is not my message, but you think leadership is all fun and games, and we get up on here on the stage and we get the opportunity to act a fool. But you don't see us. The week before we have to preach, in our cars, crying out to God, God, if you don't anoint me, I'm just another man standing up there. God, if you don't give me a word, then all these people are going to be looking at this Georgia boy saying, why in the world did Pastor Dennis bring this guy up here? Ministry is tough. It's hard. But it's rewarding when you know that God has ordained you to speak a word for the church. I was can I be transparent without y'all judging me? No stones. Let me see. Anybody got any rocks? If you do, hold them. Wait for Pastor Bradley. I was struggling. Ministry is tough. And I was hurting. Because at the age of 12, I knew God had something for me. And I knew that He had called me to a work and to a mission and to a vision. But being 12 years old, you put that on the back burner. You're 1 year from being a teenager. Woo-hoo! And I grew up in the church. I've been in church since I was 3 years old. I'm 46, so I've been in it 43 years. That's a long time. I've seen a lot of stuff, a lot of junk, a lot of stuff that wasn't God, that pretended to be God. A lot of emotionalism. We went through a phase where, I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to. I watched people on TV. I was in a Pentecostal church. Thought I seen everything. Thought I knew everything because I was raised in the church. People say anything. I had the religious spirit. I knew it. I knew how to act. Knew how to play church. From the age of 11 to 17, 18, 19, come into church, play games. Back then, when I was growing up, everything was going to send you to hell. Didn't matter. You ate Mexican, you're going to hell. TV, it's the one-eyed devil plugged in the wall. That's his tail. That's how I grew up. Went to the beach. First time I ever seen the beach. Ocean. My parents were so strict. Y'all think, man, these kids got it made. Went to the ocean. My sister wore long dresses. Couldn't cut her hair. No makeup. No earrings. That's strict. Ladies in this society today, they would be in trouble without makeup, without earrings. And Lord, have mercy, if you cut your hair, you are going to hell. There's ministry still operating that way now because it's all about the appearance and it's not about what's going on inside.
Right. Come on, man.
Let me just throw this disclaimer out real quick. I'm an ADHD person. So I'm quickly get off subject. So if I do, just say, hey, reel you back in. Somebody needs to yell out, hey, you were talking about the beach. Then I'll know where I'm at. All right? So I'm just going to let you know. That's what happens. If I leave the beach and go somewhere else, see, I've already done it. See what happens? But God made me this way. And I take a little pill, and I'm like, first time I took it, I was like, ah, it's just a pill. Then in my mind started going, ooh, hey, that's a butterfly. Ooh, hey, I focus on the butterfly. And then something over here didn't catch my attention because I was focusing on the butterfly. I was like, hey, this pill works. So it helped my job, kept me focused. See, there I go again. I'm talking about a beach, now I'm talking about work. Anyway, the beach. We go there. Ocean's beautiful. Never seen it. I'm like, wow. Creation of God. Wow. Awesome. Our cousins go in. Boom. They got their shorts on. I look at mom. I was like, hey, where's our swim trunks? You got them on. What? Roll your britches up. When I grew up, men and women were in the same pool. It was called mixed bathing, and it was sin, and it was going to hell. That's the way I grew up. So ministry can be tough. But we all got in with certain things that were going on in the church. I was telling Jamie this story last night. It's so wild because I didn't really remember it until we were talking. And who remembers Benny Hinn? Well, all you guys that don't know Benny Hinn, he had this PhD. That's called preacher hairdo. And it was... It could probably touch the back row because it went out like that, and it came in. And so my mom had him on TV, and, you know, I wasn't walking the Christian way of how we're supposed to. Needless to say, if I'd have died, I'd have went to a devil's hell. But I walked past the TV, and he's on, and he's preaching, and he's singing, glory to God, and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And it was my mom's and sister was just all into it. She was like, man, I want to go there. I want to feel the presence of God. I was like, whatever. And all of a sudden, he's praying for people. And he says, and the whole congregation in one section said, and fall out. What just happened? Because I've been in church. I've seen it all. I know it all. I've done it all. I've played church. I was like, that is not real. Mama, you need to turn that junk off because that's fake. And she said, don't question God. I said, Mama, we have been in church since I was 3. And you know it. And we come from the church of God, so you know that that is not real. Because we got some strange, crazy people in the church of God that run around, run pews, do all this stuff, roll around on the floor. They were called holy rollers, if y'all don't know that. No lie. I grew up in school, and they were like, you go to that holy rolling church. Oh, no, not me. I was like Peter, I don't know him. Mm-mm. Don't know that church. Sorry. Mm-mm. I'm a Baptist church. Where's that? No, just kidding. But really, I was like, turn it off. Turn it off. That's false. There's no way. So I forgot about all that, and I went through some tough times. Tough times. I'd still go to church, still play church. I feel the conviction of God. I'd run to the altar. God, please forgive me. Don't let me die. I was so engulfed in fear when I was growing up that if I could not get in touch with my parents, I would call the pastor's house to make sure the rapture hadn't came, and I'd hang up the phone. Because I knew how to play church. And if I knew that the pastor answered, hey, good, I was good to go for another week. I could act a fool out in the world. Because I had no mission. See, y'all thought I forgot about my sermon. I hadn't. Just because I'm on ADHD medicine, I still remember it's up here for me to look at. Y'all can't see it. But I went through some tough times, and God has a way to reel you back in real quick if you allow Him to. So my sister says, hey, I want you to come to church with me. I'm like, no, church ain't for me. I done that. I'm not doing it no more. And she's like, but you go every Sunday. I was like, yeah, I go, but I'm just not doing the church thing. She goes, this is a different church. I want you to go. And I was like, no. I played softball. I played with a team that traveled. And we always played Saturday and Sunday. So I had been out of church for a while because we traveled in Georgia playing softball. And so she said, and this was on a Thursday, she was like, I really want you to go to church Sunday. And I was like, I'm not going. I got a ball tournament. I'm not coming in town. Well, my sister is like fanatic, straight up. Some of her actions are straight up crazy. I don't understand it. But the Lord just told me to, now that what she's doing now is, I mean, she's still in church, but some of the things that is going on in the natural, I have to just look past it because I know what's going on in the spiritual. And so she's like, you're going to church because you're not playing in the softball tournament this weekend. I said, oh, yes, I am, and you ain't my mama, so even though you try to be like, but you're not. Well, it rained, so I didn't get to play ball. And I was mad. And guess where I ended up? The church. And I sat on the back row, the very back row. And there was this preacher, and he's preaching. And man, he's preaching. It's old school. I thought he was demon possessed. Straight up. I was like, Lord, where's the snakes? Remember what I told you about Benny Hinn? I told you that it was fake. Well, he was preaching sort of like a handkerchief with this, but it was a little bigger. And so I'm on the back row, and he's preaching, and conviction of God all over me. Because I know right from wrong. I've been in church. I know the Spirit of God. I know how it moves, how it can touch, how it can move, how it can deliver. I know all those things. But I wasn't living it. And so I began to walk to the front. I was like, God, I'm going to rededicate my life. I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to do the right thing. And about halfway where that pole is, that man came off the pulpit. Now, remember, Benny Hinn, it's not real. That, wake up. That ain't happening. That joker threw his handkerchief, hit me in the chest. I woke up 15 minutes later. Under the power and the anointing of God. I got up. God said, don't you ever doubt my power again. From that time on, it hadn't been perfect. Man, I've had some struggles. I went through some junk. But you know what? There's a mission that God has called each one of us to do. Throw up the first one. It's called Mission Impossible. So I'm sitting, we go on vacation. I'm sitting on the 14th floor. I've just taken my little focus pill. I'm sitting here. I'm looking at the ocean. I'm frustrated because Pastor Bradley done moved to Chiefland, Florida. There was no beach for me to come and lay out and enjoy myself when I come to see him. So I'm mad. I'm upset. He took my best friend. We don't even have a church because our church split up. So I am angry. And I'm sitting out there. And I'm looking at the ocean. And God's speaking. I said, I don't want to talk to you. Talk to the hand. See, I don't know what kind of relationship y'all have with Christ, but me, it's real. If I don't want to talk to God, hey, I'm not talking to you today. You made me mad. Of course, he don't listen. He's still God. He's still a sovereign God. Thank God he winks at my stupidity because I'm a dumb joker. Because, he could take me out just like that. But he don't because he loves me. And he knows that sometimes I'm talking out of my flesh. But I'm sitting out there and I'm like, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't even know why you want to talk to me. I don't understand how you can take my pastor, my best friend, our church, and everything just gone. So I'm looking at the ocean and I'm looking out at these people. We're on the 14th floor and I'm scared of heights, so I'm sitting in the chair like this. Man, that's a nice fool. And he speaks to me and he says, Mission Impossible. Remember, ADHD. First thing comes to my mind, Tom Cruise. Dun, 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 dun. Mission Impossible. So he says it again. Dun, dun, dun. He's like, look, knucklehead, I'm trying to tell you something. Mission Impossible. I was like, yes, God, Mission Impossible. And having a shepherd heart, I was a shepherding pastor for a church. I love people. I just love them. I love it. I love people. That's my downfall. Because I love them too much. And my wife, she gets aggravated with me because we'll go somewhere and she's like, quit staring. It's like, what? Quit staring? I'm not staring at nobody. She, yes, you are. Because I love people and I watch people. And I watch how people interact with each other. And I watch how husbands treat their wives. And I watch how kids treat their parents. I also watch how people treat their pastors. Can y'all hand me that water? So I'm sitting there. Thank you. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching. I'm watching these people and my heart begins to have that love relationship that Christ put in us. The Bible tells us to love one another as we love ourselves. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh man, look at that little baby. Like that little baby in the back. He's just precious. I was like, look. See, my medicine has kicked in by then, so I'm like, oh. And God says, Mission Impossible. And I said, God, I don't understand what you mean. And He says, is my mission impossible? I said, God, what are you talking about? What mission? I said, God, I don't understand what mission you're talking about. What mission? He said, the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Is it impossible? I said, God, I'm not God. I don't know. Is it impossible for every person in this world to have a chance to know you? Is it impossible for us to leave here and make disciples? The Bible tells us to go ye out. It don't say for you to bring them in here. It says go. Go. So I'm sitting there and God starts giving me all these things. And so I don't have a notepad. I've got my phone. Because I'd go nowhere without my phone. I just gave it to my wife. It's in her purse. Or I would have it in my back pocket right now. So I start typing in the note things of everything I hear the Spirit of God telling me at that time. And I said, God, I said, what are you trying to say? He said, mission impossible. I was like, oh, this is great. I'm writing all this stuff down. Nowhere to preach it except to myself. No lie, phone rings. Pastor Bradley's on the phone. He said, hey, me and Dad are going to see the Buckeyes. And Dad wants you to come down and speak. I was like, what? Me? Forward Church? Oh, no. He said, nah, really. He said, and I'm just going to tell you this. He said, Dad's real particular on who he lets in the pulpit. Dude, I dropped to my knees. God, forgive me forever. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. But what an honor. What an honor. Pastor Dennis asked me. And so it made sense. And I started saying, oh, the mission. Oh, wow, the mission. So the first thing I had to do, point number one, first thing I had to do is I had to accept it. And that's what I did. I accept the call. And so for me to be the traditional pastor, preacher, let me give you some scripture. Matthew 4, 18 through 20. And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishermen. And at once they left their nets and followed him. I just realized something. I hadn't prayed. See, ADHD. See, we think we have to have a format, but God's presence was here when I walked in the door. So whether I have my own mission to come up here and go through what we think we need to do every service, we sing, Pastor Dennis prays, Pastor Dennis prophesies, he preaches, we go home. It's not about my mission. It's about the mission he has going on in here. All I have to do is accept the mission that he's called me to do. So, I accepted the call. I said, yep, I'll do it. Well, I mean, this is in June. He said, I was like, when? He was like, September. I was like, September. Okay. So, it's got closer. And the closer it's got, I've become to be an ill joker. My people and my family do not like me right now. My wife tells me, You're going to be fine. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I was like, who are you? You ain't the one got to get up here and face all these folks that are looking at you right now like a bunch of calves looking at a new gate. Now, I ain't calling you cows. Please don't go out and say, that pastor called me a cow. It's not like that. And so I said, okay, God, I accept the call. First thing I got to do, number two. There it is. Whoo, thank God. I had to lay some stuff down. Oh, you've been living in sin. No, I had to lay me down. I had to lay down the things that I thought that I was going to get up here. I'm telling you, this is not even how I prepared it. In my mind, dude, I was Benny Hinn. Woo. I was like that pastor throwing things. Woo. That's how I imagined it in my mind because I'm Pentecostal. Y'all better hope the Spirit don't hit me because I was preached the rest of my sermon in tongues. Which I actually have done that. And that's in the Bible for all you Baptist people that transformed over to non-denominational. Tongues is in the Bible. We all have one. I'm just saying. It is biblical. On the day of Pentecost, Acts. If you want me to get old Pentecostal, I will. On the day of Pentecost, there were cloven tongues of fire. Ha! You seeing what I'm saying? So I had to lay some stuff down. I had to lay down my way of doing things, and my way of, hey, I'm going to get up here, and I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm going to pray over people, and I'm going to slay them in the Spirit. And God's like, you ain't doing nothing, Jack. Because it's not you, it's me. And I said, yes, Father, I understand. He whooped my tail quick. Y'all think God don't discipline? Dude, you don't want to get a spanking by God. Because he will straight up whoop some tail. And it ain't fun. How long I got? 11:43. Whoa, I'm doing good. You know, that's Pastor Bradley. This is somebody I can't. Oh, I can't say that. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I love him. He loves me. But you know, that's Pastor Bradley's pet peeve. That's what me and Brother Paul was talking about over there. I said, ooh, he would be snapping a brick right now if he knew we did not start on time. Ooh. Snap, ADHD. Done told on myself. Giggly wiggly. Anyway, let me drink some water before I get myself more in trouble. So I had to lay some stuff down. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we surround ourselves by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw down. Throw down. It ain't talking about no hillbilly. Throw down. Eat barbecue. Dance around. Hee-haw. Hoo. No. Throw down. Off. We need to throw it off. Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with the perseverance the race marked out for us. Amen. So, I'm going to change the race. Oh, you can be changing the word. Just hear me out. Let us run with perseverance the mission marked out for us. Because I told you at the beginning, every one of us has a mission. A mission to fulfill. My wife's brother, he served in the military. He just got home. He was a Navy corpsman. And Any military guys in the house? Nobody. Good. I can lie. No, I'm just kidding. He was in the military, and he was so good. He was a corpsman, and he had to practice on people, poking people, and you know, learning how to do all this stuff. Well, they put him in an ER in Guam. And so he, in the emergency room. So you're seeing a lot of things going on in an emergency room. You can imagine what he sees. Well, he got so good at it that they deployed him to Afghanistan and put him with a Marine unit to be their Navy guy and be their medic to take care of the soldiers that were going. The young man saw a lot. But he had a mission. His mission was to take care of his unit, no matter if it cost him his life. He was telling my wife, when he came back, he started struggling with being back in the States and being back at home in a country town. And so my wife was spending a lot of time with him talking, and he began to open up and tell her stories of things that he saw over there on the mission. And he told her about a story where they were doing patrols, and they would mark the trails with shaving cream so that when you walked, you made sure you stayed between the lines. Well, a young man wasn't paying attention, looking around, stepped over the line, stepped on an IED, and it blew him up. Jack was the corpsman. It's his mission to take care of all his people. He had to pick up the parts, put them in the bag, send them home to his parents. See, he had a mission to do, and he carried it out. And now he has to carry that for the rest of his life. God has called you to fulfill the mission that he's called you to do. We have to lay it down. We got to lay ourselves down. Jack laid his stuff down, knowing that he didn't want to do that. I mean, who wants to pick up body parts and put in a bag? That was his mission at the time. Who's been here the past two services? Who's heard the message that Pastor Dennis has preached over the past 2 weeks about hell? Again, I've been in church a long time. Never have I heard a word from God over the past 2 weeks. I know God. He knows me. But I was under conviction because I have not been fulfilling the mission that God had called me to. And that is go out and make disciples. Number three, when we go out, we got to connect with people. Some of you guys I've connected with. Some of you guys, I'm sorry, I don't know you. My heart is to know you because this ministry is on fire. Amen. That was your time to, like, go crazy and hoop and holler. Connect with people. The Bible tells us that in Proverbs, which this is not on the screen, if you're taking notes, Proverbs 29:18, he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, he's a happy person. Here I go. I'm going to change the word again for you. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no mission, the people perish. I don't know if Pastor Bradley's told y'all how we met. I was a youth pastor at a church, in a small church. My wife was the music director, leader, whatever you want to call it, praise and worship. And we were in a country town. I'm just saying, redback hymns. Turned to 333, Victory in Jesus. That's where we went. And I have always been in a modern church. So you're talking about throwing a man in the Waltons today. That's the way I felt. Good night, John Boy. Oh, good night. I couldn't connect with these people. Could not. I mean, they drove me crazy. I had two teenagers. No, I'm sorry. I had four teenagers. Two of the teenagers were my boys. So I had two teenagers that I got to youth pastor. I was like, woohoo, I'm a youth pastor. Yeah. How many youth do we got? Two. Huh? What am I going to say to two people? Be faithful. Be faithful. Don't matter how many people you got. I heard Pastor Dennis say on podcast, it didn't matter if anybody showed up. He's still going to preach his sermon. Yeah. And he would, because he's straight up crazy. He is. So I couldn't connect with these people, and I'm praying, and I'm like, God, you got to get me out of here. I cannot deal with this one more service. Victory in Jesus. There's no victory in here. They come in and they sit down and they go through their traditions and their. And my wife's trying to change things. So I go back to my other pastor, the one that he so graciously set us out and sent us for. I want to slap him. I go back to him. I said, I've got to come home. He said, quit crying and do what God called you to do, and maybe God will let you come back home. What? How dare you talk to me like that? I had to lay some stuff down. So I went back to that church. I'm mad. I tell Melanie, I said, one more service and we are out of here because I'm not putting up with this. I told him what our pastor told me, and she said, he's right. Traitor! So, God don't talk to me like he talks to y'all. See, because I'm ADHD, he's probably saying, oh, Brother Jamie, you are so fine, God. He don't talk to me like that. He's like, hey, knucklehead, you hard-headed, ADHD person, one that wants to do things your way, I'm talking to you. So I'm going across. I work for Coca-Cola, the greatest company in the whole world. Podcast, you heard that. I said it, but I drink Mountain Dew. Just kidding. I'm going across the mountain. The Lord speaks to me. And he says, do it. Do what? I said, oh, do it. I get to go. I get to leave. He said, no. Do what Pastor Chad told you. Quit crying. Step up and be the man that I've called you to be. I was like, I don't want to be a man now. I want to sit on the church and I don't want to do nothing. Because I didn't get my way. There's too many churches, too many people sitting here crying because God's called you to do a mission. And you're sitting there, you're stomping your feet like a little kid like I was and says, I didn't get to do it my way. And God's telling me to tell you to suck it up and do the mission that God's called you to do. Man, that was hard. I felt the kickback. I felt it. Y'all think I'm just up here because I look good? And I do. No, I'm just kidding. Whether you believe it or not, I am flowing in the Spirit. And God, I felt the kickback. I felt it. How dare you talk to me like that? You are not even my pastor. It's probably a good thing that I said it, because Pastor Dennis would have been a lot harder. That man don't play. I'm on podcast in Georgia listening, and my... About said it. ADHD kicking in. My tail was getting spanked from podcasts. Because he don't play when it comes to the kingdom of God. That's why I had her sing that again. We think we're going through the motions and we're just here in the kingdom of God and we go out into Chiefland and we're having a good time. Woohoo, Chiefland! Boo. Never heard of Chiefland till my friend moved down here. But I can tell you this. I didn't understand why Bradley Weber would want to come to a God-forsaken Chiefland, Florida, which that's the way I looked at it, because he took my best friend. See, ADHD, I forgot where I was at. I was telling y'all a story about how me and Bradley met. So I was at this church. See, here we go again. Ooh, y'all got to keep me focused. Keep me focused, people. It's 12 o'clock. For all you people, it is 12 o'clock, and I will be done in 15 minutes. Well, maybe 30. Let me look at everybody. 12:30, 12:45. No, just kidding. Anyway, I'm out there. We got invited to go on a cruise. Never been on a cruise. Only time I've been out of the States was Jamaica, and that was on my honeymoon. And on the plane trip, I was like, Jesus, go ahead and take me because I'm fitting to go. You're talking about a country boy from Duluth, Georgia. This reminds me of Duluth, no lie. Chiefland does. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend y'all, but we had one red light. Y'all at least got three. We had one growing up. So I'm on a plane, sitting there, going to Jamaica, and I feel, I don't know, I didn't have medicine at that time. If I'd had medicine, I'd have been, hey, let's go, brother. But I wasn't. I was like, oh, my God, what was that? The plane hadn't even moved. But anyway, I'm out in the ocean. We got invited to go on a cruise by this couple. Well, needless to say, Pastor Bradley, you know, his organization skills, he is by the book. Brother Paul can tell you he's probably got 3 pages of notes of what's supposed to happen this service. So he organizes all this. We're going on a cruise. We get stuck at his table. I don't know Bradley. Pastor B. don't know him. First time I met him was on, or first time I saw him, you know, he, I love you, Pastor. What am I about to say? I thought he was arrogant. I thought he was a show hog. I said, man, please. Who he think he is? Carmen? I didn't know him. Didn't know his spirit. I just know I'm dying. I'm at this little church. I'm working hard. I'm trying to build this youth group. We're already up to, I don't know, what, 15, 20? 20 kids. I was telling the people last night at dinner, we take them to this youth event in Tennessee. Over 15,000 teenagers worshiping God, praising God, letting loose like you've never seen it before, slain in the spirit, speaking in tongues. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Colosseum had to close down because they had to clean up for the next night. Youth pastors carrying their teenagers by arms, legs, hair, whatever they could get their hands on, pulling them out of the Colosseum because they were under the presence of God and could not walk. Changed my life. We were laughing last night because I'm the youth pastor of my son. And it's not fair being a pastor and having to teach your own son, and your son gets the brunt of everything. Next thing I know, the anointing hits me. Colosseum full of people. I'm walking over pews on top of laying hands on my teenagers that I brought. I get to my son. I was like, I'm going to skip him because he'll think I'm just picking on him. And I start to walk, and my arm automatically just hit him on the head. Now, please, do not think I'm making fun of the Holy Ghost, because I done that one time, and I woke up 15 minutes later, and I'm not doing it again. So please, don't think I am. All of a sudden, my son, the guitar player, good-looking one, look like me. That's him. All of a sudden, the anointing hits me. I hit him. He bowls up like a jackhammer. Straight arms. And the anointing God hits him, and he starts going. You talking about somebody getting fired up? When you see your babies getting the anointing and feeling the power of God, it will make you more determined to lead them to Christ and to people that are around you. So we're in this ocean. We're in this auditorium thing. And I don't know Bradley. And he's with this other pastor, Matthew. And they're talking and laughing. And they're going on. And I'm thinking, they're laughing at me. They don't know me. I take this shirt off. I don't know who they think they playing with. It's I might be a preacher, but I will show no. You don't know me. Jump. So I'm thinking they're talking about me. That's what the devil was telling me. They're making fun of you. You just some hillbilly preacher, got a youth group. They running 800 people over at the church they at. They laughing at you. So in my mindset, I'm thinking, he's laughing at me. All of a sudden, we're standing there, and he comes over. And he's like, hey, good to meet you guys. And we connect eyes. Sorry, I'm a crybaby. Big time. I'm holding it together. I'm good right now. Ask the praise team. I'm usually, so I'm holding it again. I'm trying to. I promise I'm trying to. We connect eyes, and he looks at my wife, and he says, "That man is dying, and you better get him in a church where he can get some word." I start crying. I said, "You just don't know what we've been through." He said, "I don't need to know. I just know that the Lord of God loves you and respects you. And he's got something big for you."
Amen.
And he walks off. Him and Amy go back to his room. He tells me later after we become friends, he said, "I walked in that room and I told Amy," he said, "I sure enough just act a crazy fool because these people don't know me." He said, "I don't know what just happened." He said, "They probably think I've lost my..." But he just didn't know the Spirit of God is speaking. He had a mission to be in the middle of the ocean at that time with Pastor Matthew and begin to speak a word in me to fulfill the mission that I have today. Where am I at? Connect with people. Number four. Guess what? Pastor Bradley put down the Carmen mentality. I like Carmen. Carmen's a cool guy. Used to be very hot. See, all y'all church people don't know that. Carmen was a good guy. They're like, "Carmen? Who's Carmen?" Anyway, it goes way back. He put down that, and he began to smell like a sheep. Smell like a sheep. Bleh. Yeah, sheep. A sheep. God has called us to smell like sheep. You're like, "What are you talking about?" Sorry, podcast. I hate it for you. John 4:9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus began to lay down that he was the Son of God, that he was there on a mission, and he laid all that down to meet the woman at the well and told her everything. He began to smell like a sheep. The thing is, church people, we don't smell like sheep anymore because we're not out there by the sheep. We expect Pastor Dennis to do everything. We expect him to work a full-time job because we're not giving our tithes for him just to sit around. I've heard that. We expect him, when people get sick, to go to the hospitals. The last time I checked, now if I'm wrong, please just jump up, scream it out, "You're wrong." But sheep produce other sheep. Am I wrong? When is the last time you've seen a shepherd produce a sheep? Am I wrong? Shepherds cannot produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. So when you're out in the grocery store and the Lord speaks to you and says, "You know what? I want you to lay down what you thought you were coming in here for, and I want you to buy the people's groceries behind you." Say what? "Well, let me see how much. Let me check the lines out. Oh, they got one item. They got, oh, that one's got four. Oh, I feel good. I'll do the one with four." Hallelujah. No. You better pick the one that's got the full buggy. Because I promise you, it will cost you more in the end. So you better be obedient to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and pay for the groceries that was behind you that with a full buggy. God is trying to change this now. He has people in place. See, I learned a lot on podcasts about Pastor Dennis. 1987 was the year that I graduated. Woohoo, I look good for 87. 1987, great year. Guess what? Pastor Dennis comes to Chiefland, 1987. Is that coincidence? What did we count it up? 27 years? 27 years to September, right now. 27 years. 1987, 2014, 27 years. God's putting people in place. In the ocean, we had to connect with Pastor Bradley so that I could be here. 2014. This happened in 2009. He moved me from a little town in Duluth, Georgia, to Pine Mountain, even smaller than Chiefland, to go pastor, youth pastor at a church smaller than probably that bathroom. Then to connect with him. God is putting people in place for a reason. He is connecting. The Georgia Connection / 808 brought them to Chiefland to connect. Who has been here with Pastor Dennis for the past 10 years? Can you stand so everybody can see you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 people. All right. 5 people. For the past 10 years. Now, who has came on from this Sunday? No, I can't use that because that was Pastor Dennis. Last Sunday on. Stand up. From last Sunday, you started attending. From last Sunday on. Stand up. That'd be the rest of you if, you know. Stand up. You see how many people that God is putting on a mission for this house? Look around. These are the people that God has brought from different places into this house. Again. I clap louder at a football game than y'all just did. Y'all should be shaking the kingdom. Look how many people has came to this ministry over the past month, year, the past 5 years. For God to do something in your life. Because guess what? You're on a mission. The Spirit of God wants you to know that you're on a mission. Amen. You've tried to do things your own way. And you're the type, I can see it. I got it together, man. Don't tell me. God said he's finna rock your world. He said he brought you to a place like an onion. Maybe you've been tied up like an onion, and people don't know if you a sweet onion or a red onion. Because if once you cut into an onion, you know. But there's been layers on top of you. And God is peeling back. And he's letting the anointing come forth. You're a praiser. God said, quit trying to hold me down. God said, if you feel like screaming, you scream. If you feel like running, you run. If you feel like dancing, you dance. See, Micah tried to hold David down, but David said, you know what? Micah, you crazy, because I've got to dance before my king. And when you two, oh, he lied up, boy, shut. Hallelujah. God said, because of you two are joined in the spirit, the things that have attacked your household and your family, that he is putting it to bed. I'm about through. We've about half church up in here. I'm just telling you, right now the Spirit of God is moving, and he's letting each and every one of you cats know. Yeah, I'm real. I'm not going to say you people, because people are cats to me. But you've got to know that you are on a mission from God. You are not on your own mission. If you think you just woke up, put your clothes on, drove to Forward Church, let me tell you, God directed every footsteps of every man, woman, boy, girl, child. It doesn't matter. You are here because God wants you to be here. He wants you to be in this time and in this season. He moved me from Duluth, Georgia, to Pine Mountain, Georgia, to meet a man that I didn't even like at the time, thought he was arrogant, made him my best friend so I could be standing here on this pulpit this day to let you know that the Holy Spirit has got you on a mission. Last point, 12:20. I don't know what time y'all get out. Oh, I'm scared. All right. Number five, last one. Who'll stay with me to 12:30? Come on. I'm sorry, Pastor Dennis. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go, make disciples, all you nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tongue. I'm not telling you to go out and lay hands, and because if you do it not in the Spirit, you might get laid hands on too. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is doing something in Chiefland. I talk to Pastor B a lot of times more than I talk to my wife, because I just don't see her. She works, I work. And when I'm working, I'm focused because of my little pill. I don't like phone calls. I don't like text messages, because I've got to do what I've called to do. Yes, Holy Spirit, I heard that. I just got whooped right here in front of y'all. He said, I called you to do a job. Why don't you focus on that as much as you do Coca-Cola? And I'm up here, and he's talking to me. I'm just not crying. Usually I'm crying, oh, yes, God, I hear you, brother. But look how much Chiefland has changed. You went to, what was the name of the first church? Calvary Worship Center. How many of y'all you think you ran? 25 people. 25 people. Do you not think that Forward Church is on a mission? God ordained Pastor Bradley to move his family to come down here to get in covenant with his father, Dennis Weber, so that he can bring this community together and to change it for the kingdom of God. I don't think y'all get it. God has a rhema word for this church. You cannot do like any other church from this day forward. You cannot play games with the leadership anymore. You cannot come and do what you want to do. Because I'm telling you from this day forward, and I proclaim it under the anointing of my Father, the games stop. There is a mission. And God is corralling all of y'all as one to change this region. Because Pastor Dennis, like I said, 1987 until now has been faithful. He's been faithful. I got 7 minutes. Did you know the Spirit of the Lord told me and Pastor Bradley to start a ministry? We started one. Called Release City Church. Man, we were proud. Release City Church. We had the little bumper stickers on the back, part of Release City Church. We had a members of 8. Probably our families. I didn't even count. But you know what? We got our eyes off the mission. And he would probably tell you we were joking, and we were, but we had... We were, but we wasn't. We had in our mentality, man, we're going to get so big. Man, we're going to change this city. We're going to be driving an Escalade with Pastor B and Pastor M on it. God's like, I see where your heart is. Wasn't on a mission of changing people's life. Wasn't on a mission to letting people be set free. It was getting that Escalade. So we were down last time since he came down to Forward Church. He's been bragging about you guys. I mean, I hear it all the time. I'm so jealous. I just want to why can't y'all be an hour away? Because my heart is here. I fall under the leadership of this house. Oh, I didn't tell you the best part. When I was telling you that sheep produce sheep, God spoke this to me Friday in a cooler in Greenville, Georgia. And he said, tell my people that sheep produce sheep and that shepherds produce other shepherds. And it might not be for none of you guys, but it stirred me because you know what? I'm a shepherd. I have a shepherd's heart. I love people. I want to see people do good. And some of these guys, they can watch people crash on TV and watch their leg. And not me. I can't do that because I care. I don't want anybody. Who remembered the screams from last week on the videos or the sound? The screams from hell. When I heard that on podcast, I began to cry. I began to break down because I said, God, please, please, please. allow me to speak to someone so that don't happen to happen. We're on a mission, church. It's not a mission that Pastor Dennis started. It's not a mission that Pastor Bradley started. It's a mission that started when Jesus left heaven's throne room. And he said, you know what? I got to give my people another chance to get back to heaven. So he sacrificed himself. And the mission began when he called the disciples and said, go, make disciples. That's all we're asking you to do. Just go. Just go. The Bible says, commission. If you break that up, you got to come, and then there's a mission. You got to come to know the Father. So there's a mission. You got to come to know that you got to let things go, and you got to let things down, and you got to let your pride down. And you got to know, and you got to come, and you got to connect with people. Whether you want to connect with them or not. There's some people I don't want to connect with. I don't have a choice, but I do. And they're like, no. Me and them, we just don't jay-haw. No. But it ain't about me. It's about the Spirit of God. It's about the anointing of God. I told the praise team in that room back there, I said, I do not want to stand before my Father. And people standing on the left and the right, and people that I know look at me and say, why didn't you tell me? And I'm going to steal this, Jamie, because it rocked my world. First time I saw it, I was like, oh, Jamie's trying to be like Pastor Bradley, putting stuff on Facebook. Woo-hoo. But then I heard the message. He said, if someone's house was on fire, would you walk by it and say, hey, your house is on fire, and keep walking? Or would you run in there, grab them, shake them, tell them, hey, your house is on fire. You're going to die if you don't get out. That's what we have inside of us, is a fire. And it is burning. And there's people dying and going to hell because we don't share the gospel. Because we forgot the mission that God has called us to do. And that is to share His love, His mercy, and His grace. It doesn't matter if you are strung out on crack cocaine. It doesn't matter if you've drank your whole life away. It doesn't matter, because this day is a new day. This day is a new day. Stand to your feet. I've asked them to sing this, but before they do, man, this time goes by so fast when you're working on the anointing. I've got so much. Jamie, the Spirit of the Lord said, no matter what, no matter what, there's things that you've tried to forget. You've tried to keep them in the back burner of what the Spirit of the Lord has spoke to you in times by yourself. He said, I didn't put those in your heart or in your spirit for no reason. You thought your life was over when tragedy happened. And things happen. Life happens. Divorce happens. But God gave you to him and him to you for this mission. God's stirring. There's a flame that started out in a little Baptist boy. And God said he's turning up the heat. That flame that used to be little is exploding. Where's all the teenagers in this house? Is this your group? You are so blessed. Can I tell you that this man is going to lead you where no other generation has ever been? It ain't about the talking or the speaking in tongues, because you know what? Paul said, I spoke in tongues more than all of you guys. It's about leading and changing and moving. If we're not doing that, we're stagnated, and God might as well come back and take his people home. But because he is such a gracious God, and he don't want anyone to go to hell, he's putting people like Jamie, Adam, Paul. Ooh, Paul. God said that he ain't through. Come on. Paul, you've been in the corner for too long. God said this ain't... What's the show I'm looking for? Dirty Dancing. Nobody puts baby in the corner. Guess what? The Spirit of God said nobody's putting Paul back in the corner. That you're coming out. You got a word from God. Ooh, I feel the presence of God. I'm telling you, God is going to show up. He's fixing to move. I'm telling you that things are breaking off of people as I speak. It's not because of anything that I'm doing or anything that I said. It's because of his anointing. There is a mission in this house God has set forth. You guys, right there, y'all holding hands with a hat. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't know if it's your first time, but God said he loves you guys. And he's got big things in store for your family. Amen. There's some things that have happened. And you're looking around and you're like, I don't know how. But God said he's got the footsteps ordered already. Just trust him. And that he loves you. Amen. And there's a mission for you guys. You might not know what it is, but he will develop it. And he'll make it come to pass. When it's his timing. Just trust him. And know that he's got you in the palm of his hand. Amen. Amen. Can we give God praise? You with the teal shirt. I don't know. Every time I keep coming by, my eyes go straight to you. Things are going on in the spirit realm and you're not understanding. Not only in the spirit, but in your natural life, things are... You just feel like you're standing in a whirlwind and you're standing here and everything's going around and you just keep doing this. Scars. but you've been faithful. And you keep coming back. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, where God gives us a new name when we get to heaven, He's going to call us something different. I don't know your name, but I can tell you right now what I see in the Spirit. Your new name's going to be the Comeback Kid. Where everybody thought you were down and out, it's not going to happen. Things are going to change. It's a new day. Some of y'all are nervous. Y'all think I'm fixing to throw this handkerchief. This time, He wants people to know that He loves them. And there's been people in here that have, and I know Bradley does this, and every time I hear it, my religious comes out of me. But I don't know any other word to say it. You have had the hell beat out of you. And life is real. And life is hard. Walking for the past 2 weeks through a time in my life where I said, God, I know the mission. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I just don't know how to do it. This morning, that's what you're saying. I know I'm saved, God. I know I have a relationship with you. But I just don't know how to fulfill the mission that you call me to do. I know that this is an ordained moment because Satan has fought my family tooth and nail. 2 weeks ago, my baby boy worked 18 hours coming home on a holiday weekend. These guys right here, they call me old. I go to bed early. But I stayed up late. Something I never do. Watching a movie with my wife. We got hooked on a crazy TV show. It was on Netflix. And good thing about Netflix, there's no commercials. So you go to the next one. Next thing I know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Are you talking about a man that goes to bed at 9 o'clock to 2? My body starts shutting down. And I told you about my phone. It always is with me. First call comes in at 2:33. Second call comes in at 2:34. Third call comes in at 2:35. Never hear my phone. Next call comes in at 2:40. 2:46. 2:47. 2:48. 2:51. My baby, the one I laid hands on in Tennessee, that felt the anointing of God and the power of God and watched him get the Holy Ghost. Satan tried to take him out. Fell asleep at the wheel after 18 hours. Drove a path probably 1,000 yards into the woods. Fell asleep, slept the whole way. The only thing he remembered was his music went off. And he opened his eyes. My baby, don't tell me that Satan is not real and he wants to destroy your life, because he knows if he can touch my family, that's how he gets to me. There's not a dad in this place that would not give up his life for his family. And if you're not, young man, old man, if you're not in that place, you better get your tail down to this altar and ask God to give you the love that he has for you, for your family. I never heard the phone call. Never heard the phone call. For 2 weeks, I walked around with that burden on my life. I couldn't get to my baby. I couldn't get to the one that is anointed to play a guitar. It rocked my world. He walks in the house. I'm thinking, I'm dreaming. He shakes me. Dad. Huh. Dad. And I jump up and I fall because I'm disoriented. And he grabs me. He said, Dad, I just told him my truck. I could have died and you never answered the phone. Why are you telling this, Pastor? Because that's what God is saying. The phone's ringing, and you're not answering the phone. He don't want you to die and go to hell. He's got a mission for you. He's got things prepared for you. If anybody don't know Christ, as they begin to sing, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to know the King of Kings, the God that I know, the man that makes me get up here and act crazy and cry. I hate crying. When I was growing up, crying was a weakness. In the kingdom, I find it's refreshing. God took my tears for a whole year. I could not cry. Didn't matter if you died, if I loved you, I could not cry. I said, God, if you will let my tears flow again, I'll never, ever tell you that I don't want to cry no more. There's people in this house. God has a mission for you. And it's your choice, just like Pastor Dennis said last week. Jesus and God is not going to send you to hell. You're going to. With the choices that you make, either you can say, yes, I'm not saved and I want to be saved. Or you can say, you know what, preacher, you have talked to me too long. It's time for you to sit down and go back to Georgia. So as they sing, I'm just going to stand right here. If you need Christ, you come. If you don't, and you're going through junk, and you want to get it off your chest, and you want to lay it at the feet of Jesus, these altars are open. Choice is yours.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Forward Church Online. We hope this has been a blessing in your life and that you'll share this and other great resources with your friends. We want to invite you to explore our webpage at www.myforwardchurch.org. There, you'll find online giving, church events, and so much more. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, as there's always something happening around Forward Church. If you're ever in our area, we'd like to extend an invitation to come be a part of one of our live worship experiences. Thanks again for listening to the Forward Church Online Podcast. Have a great week.